I want to do it is eventually we're going to set those up, some of them, you know, to correspond to Go terms.
Right.
We're going to image these things with a photo micrograph and then with probably classic line art. And in some instances, we may do more than one species so we can sort of capture some variability in what people might see.
Awesome.
Cool.
And we also want to, and so we've got material, so we're chopping those up. We want to put in when it's appropriate for the example, like Arabidopsis, Metacago, you know, some of the whole genomes that are done where people have done a lot of work on them. Again, as part of that variability thing. And also do ferns, whatnot, because, you know, people are now going, I'm actually involved in doing some whole fern genomes because the EvoDevo guys now are trying to move outside of the flowering plants and pick up things farther down the phylogenetic tree.
Cool. Yeah.
So I want to be ready for them.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're doing. Brandon's here. Oh, we could turn our video on, couldn't we?
Yeah. Why don't we wait just a second until Pankaj joins us, Dennis?
I was just talking just with you now.
He would probably be really interested to hear this.
Oh, but yeah. You and I, you know, work a lot together in the past that way.
Yeah.
And so you had some.
Let me ask you a quick question before we get into things, Dennis. So,
and I'm coming to Oregon.
Right. Things are kind of coming together for the biodiversity workshop. Do you want to present something there?
If I present anything there, it would be with Chelsea.
Right.
She's my former student, and so we work together a lot. So we'll be talking about that. She and I will be talking about that.
Okay.
In the next week, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you could just let me know.
Well, I see what you mean. I mean, I have the other thing I have to do.
You're
maybe in the workshop, a short presentation about how we're doing this stuff, like how we're going to, you know, with some examples of what we're going to put in on the images, because by that time we'll have some up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so that's what we'll do. I'll talk about the how and why and the.
Yeah, so if you two could kind of coordinate on that and send me
a calendar, I'll talk to her.
That'd be great. Because we have enough time. We have about 5 speakers right now, and I'm waiting to hear back from a couple more.
Yeah.
But we definitely have time, like maybe 15 minutes. For some questions.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Pankaj, your audio is making very strange noises.
That's not me, is it?
No, it's Pankaj's audio, I think.
Oh, what's he doing? Whatever. So here's Brandon.
Okay, so here, I'll turn on our video too.
And I think Dario's been on, he worked with Ramona quite a bit.
Hi, Brandon.
Hello.
And Dario's.
Nice to meet you.
That person.
Yeah, so let's go around and do some introductions. I think Pankaj is just signing
is
back.
Is this better now?
That's better, yeah. You don't sound like a squirrel, so that's better.
Hi, this is Pankaj.
Oh, I see him up there on the right. Yeah, you had that baseball cap on. I didn't know who you were.
It helped me focus a little bit more.
Oh, I see.
Deflect the rays from the internet.
Yeah, yes. Everything gets filtered out for me on that side.
Maybe I need one of those, too.
Yeah, I can use one as well.
Yeah.
Since Pankaj is here, let me tell you what we're doing. So, there's Brandon and Dario. Dario has a master's in plant anatomy.
Hi, Dario.
Hi.
And he's over here somewhere, and Brandon's here. And we also have a summer intern, a college intern, too, that we're putting. But what I'm doing is we're going to start, or we have started, rather, imaging all the most standard anatomical terms, you know, like root anatomy and stem anatomy in particular. Mm-hmm. We're going to image those from microscope slides that we make or images I can use that friends have.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to relate those back to the plant anatomy textbook that I have that has a glossary and a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to use a photomicrograph, and then we're going to use line art from the historic literature because often that's better for people to understand something. So it's side by side.
Yeah.
And then we're going to want to, at some point, we will do some in situs and link that, you know, to Go terms. We're also going to do more than one example of a structure when there's variability so that people understand the variability. And we're going to try to include, where appropriate, Arabidopsis. What were all Arabidopsis, Metacago. Got a little list this evening.
Some grasses.
Brachypodium, Populus, and probably maybe Musa, because you know we did that analogy for them, and Vitus. So that way people can see that the variability across those taxa, but also because you know there's so much information on them in terms of the whole genomes and Evo-Devo work.
So it's mainly dicots right now.
There's Musa's a monocot and Brachypodium, and we'll probably do Zia or Rice. Yeah. And we're also going to do something from the Solanum group.
Okay.
And, now, I was telling Laurel that we're also looking at ferns because I have all the material. I already have slides of things I've made. But we're going to select those because right now there's a big push to do some fern whole genomes. So I'm on a couple projects like that. And a lot of our Evo-Devo people are trying to, you know, take the flowering plant experience, but now work down in the ferns, you know, to sort of get down the tree of life in terms of where things occurred. So we're going to include ferns for some things, like Ceratopterus, for example, Selaginella apoda, and we'll probably pick up another couple ferns depending on what the fern community is interested in. And we're not doing, but we will at some level, reproductive structures like Archegonia and Antheridium show the different types. And we just did two whole genomes in hornworts on top of Anthoceras, so we need to get some of that stuff in, I think, to the PO. And so that's what we're going to be doing all the time.
And we'll need
to work with Justin Priest, I think, on image uploading and blah, blah, blah. And I did ask you if you mind if sometimes we use links to images rather than actually post the image ourselves. We need to talk about that.
So there is a possibility. So Harper, where are you going to be storing all these images?
Well, we'll just have them here on our server, but, you know.
So
but we not. Go ahead.
So what I was thinking is maybe you can buy $100 worth of Dropbox for these two guys, and it's you get a 1 terabyte.
Okay.
Online, and then share that with us.
Yep.
That's a possibility. We can give you access to our file share server. Later on, and then you can start storing there remotely as well. So what would happen is the files would stay on your desktop.
Yeah.
Be backed up in the Dropbox, and everybody would have access to those images.
Okay.
So that is an easy way. What I've realized is it's not complicated. Everybody has control over their data, and everybody is sharing in that way. So don't worry about the quality and things like that, just whatever things you're capturing, just go into there. So I bought Dropbox for everybody in my group here.
Okay.
It's about $100 per year.
That's fine.
Yeah. And you get a 1 terabyte of space.
And then we're going to push for quality because
so
that people can download those. And we have some notions about that.
Right, exactly. And so another question was, are you two, Brandon and what's your name?
Dario.
Dario. Are you guys coming for the ICBL?
No, they can't because they're both already committed to talks at the Botanical Society meetings, which are the same time.
Oh.
I'm cutting my bot socks. I have to introduce the Kaplan lecture and then get on a plane and come. And then Chelsea's doing the same thing the next day.
So can they come with you?
I don't think so because their papers are not when my. It's just I'm there for one day to do my Equisetum paper, the next morning to do the Kaplan lecture's introduction and then leave. So that's the first day of the meetings.
Yeah, talks haven't been scheduled yet. The abstracts are just in.
And only symposia are in. The Kaplan lecture is always known
every
year at the same time.
So when does the meeting start, actually?
On Monday. August 1st.
August 1st? Oh, man. Mine is also on the same day.
I know it is. That's why I was telling you. I was going to have a problem getting there.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. So we can bring them up some other time.
Yeah.
Over here to familiarize with all the other things that we
need. Yeah. To have a face-to-face with you guys.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I just heard that my workshop at the Botanical Congress in China has been accepted.
Oh, good.
So that's next year.
In Shenzhen.
Yes.
Know it very well. Been there many times.
Cool.
So excellent. So it's an excellent progress. And so we'll look forward to how you guys plan on working on these images and the data sets kind of things. Yeah. Good. And Dennis, do you need anything about your keynote from us?
No.
You're going to talk about your comparative aspects.
I'm going to talk about, you know, the notion. I'm actually was going to start with why do we have the ontology, mm-hmm. and why we began to build it, and then we realized we had to expand it, and then I'm going to give examples of those things, mm-hmm. and the idea that it should ultimately connect the geo with the PO.
And yeah.
People, not just with terms, but also with, because it's very visual what we do in science.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I was going to go with it. And then where might the ontology go from here?
Yeah. And so are you going to be doing a little bit more of comparative and phylogenomics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's fine. So
since we did this, the ontology, and we have it across the land plant tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
This means now we can begin to apply it to research problems, you know. Say, well, I'm interested in this structure that defines this clade,
mm-hmm.
and how that works in genomics. And look, here's a structure with the same name in another clade, which tells us there's two different ways to make that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a value to us then to utilize that, say, in agriculture and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely, kind of things. Yeah, you would have 1 hour for the talk, kind of things. Mm. So yours is scheduled for August 3.
I saw that, yep. Already. I'll be getting there August 2.
Yeah, perfect. So I'll send you more details. Tonight,
but I'll be okay. I'll keep in touch with you.
I would need your talk title.
Okay, I'll get that to you in the next couple of days.
Thank you.
And Dennis, how long are you planning to stay?
I'm going to stay through the workshops, and then I'm going to go back to San Francisco with Chelsea and her husband.
Will you be there? Will you be there Friday, the 5th?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, because
we'll both be there Friday.
I think Marie Angelique is going to stay on Friday, and I have a room booked so we can work on some things together. And
because I want to. I have a friend that I need to see in Berkeley.
Yeah. And so I think when you are here, that would also be a good opportunity. We can bring Gar Rothwell and Ruth.
I think he'll be back. I talked to him about this.
Okay. If they are there, then I think what I want to understand is take a look at the matrices that you guys make.
Yeah.
And
Ruth will be there.
Hmm?
Ruth will be there because she'll be coming back on Thursday from the Botsuck.
Mm-hmm.
Gar won't because he's moving some stuff from Ohio to Oregon after the meeting. I remember
that. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I contacted those guys, but I haven't heard anything back from them.
Well, they were away and now they're back. You know, he did something like that. And I think there, but I'm not sure. I talked to Gar a couple days ago.
He's coming back from the botanical meeting on Thursday.
No, he's not. He's going to Ohio.
Ruth.
But Ruth would be coming back from the meeting.
Right.
Ruth will go back to Corvallis. Gar's going to go to Ohio and pack some things up to take.
Oh, okay.
Oregon.
Right. So we have, I believe Ramona would be here. And is Chelsea coming?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Excellent.
And I'm just going to leave when Chelsea leaves, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, if you guys can, you know, if you can be there at least Friday morning, that would be great. Then we could.
Yeah.
But yeah, the biodiversity workshop is Thursday afternoon at 1:30.
Yeah. She's coming on Wednesday.
Yeah. Good. Don't plan on leaving until Friday lunchtime.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah.
Don't plan on leaving. We're going to keep you here, Dennis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I should retire there.
More than welcome.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That gives you the notion of what we're doing and where
it's great to have a chance to catch up with you guys.
Up, and they'll be labeled, and then I'll put them up in the same way that I put up. We did practice ones a couple of years ago, remember, Justin?
Yes, 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 yeah.
With flower parts and things. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use the same methodology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Great job.
Because it goes to machine learning a little bit, right? So I'm kind
that's,
of
scared. That's what you want.
And you have these people there in your computer science department that was on our Avital grants.
Sinisa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That both Ramona and I worked with those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Well, we kind of got off on things. I was going to go around and have everyone introduce themselves so Brandon could meet everybody. Maybe we should do that still, because there's a few folks on the call that you know, he probably wouldn't hurt to. I'll turn my camera back on here. It looks like Chris and Elizabeth have joined us, and so maybe I'll start. I don't know. Brandon, you and I have already gotten acquainted on email a little bit. My name's Laurel. I'm project coordinator. I'm also curator and bioinformatics person here. This is Austin Meyer. About yourself.
Hi, I'm a postdoc with Pankaj working on the Plantium project and curation and annotation and
ontologies,
you know, whatever gets thrown at me, I deal with. But yeah, been here for a year tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, that's, oh, wow, that's cool.
Yay, happy anniversary.
Hey, and there's Chris. Chris, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself? We can't see you, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's too early in the morning, sorry. I'm Chris Mungle. I'm at Lawrence Berkeley Labs, and I'm a kind of the co-investigator at LBL on the Plantium project. Most of the time I work on projects that make use of ontologies, primarily more in the kind of like model organism and human domain. So I'm part of the Gene Ontology project. I'm a PI in the Monarch Initiative project that is building a big genotype phenotype database for humans and model organisms. And I've been involved in the development of a number of ontologies and ontology development tools for a number of years now. And that's one of my roles on the project. Also, our group develops the main code base for Amigo, which is being kind of adapted and extended within the Plantium project for browsing and searching, kind of germplasm phenotype Go, gene to Go annotations within Plantium.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. Next. Marie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I am Marie-Angélique Laporte. I'm also postdoc on the Plantium project, and I work at Biodiversity International in France, but I'm based in Switzerland. And I work on the crop ontology project and more generally on ontologies and threat ontologies and stuff like that.
And you'll be here for ICPO.
And I'll be here for ICPO, of course.
And I see Elizabeth is on the call, but I haven't heard anything from you. Elizabeth, are you there?
Hi, Laurel. I came late, so I was silent.
Nice to see you.
So I can just briefly introduce myself. I'm Elisabeth Arnaud from Biodiversity International, which is one center of the International Consortium of Agricultural Research Institutions. I'm the PI of the crop ontology, so I'm working with Marie-Angélique, and I'm co-PI on CROP with the team here, and I'm also a co-PI on developing the agronomy ontology with the CGMIR centers. And that's it.
And I guess that leaves Justin.
Yeah, I'm Justin. I'm a postdoc in Pankaj's lab. I mostly do like the system administration, some programming for the group. I would actually work up in Spokane, though.
Okay.
And he's one of two Justins.
Yeah.
It'll be a little confusing because there's two. There's Justin Elser and there's Justin Priest. So this one is Justin Elser.
Hi, J.E.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as J.E., yeah.
And there's J.P.
And maybe you should have swivel your camera there so Dario can say hello.
Yeah.
You know, there's Dario. Yeah.
Very challenged with these things.
Yeah, that's all right.
So I've been Dennis's technician for the last 4 years. We worked together with Ramona on the Avital project, specifically the crowdsourcing section of that project, and several little anatomy projects, mostly with Lycophyte branching. I also just finished up my master's in Martiniaceae systematics and a little bit of trichome anatomy. So, hi.
Hi. Great to meet you after all these years. And maybe, Brandon, you could give us a little introduction of your background and swivel the camera back around.
Sure, let me swivel it around. So I just got my PhD in December. I'm working with John Freudenstein at Ohio State, who's mainly a phylogeneticist, but also interested in morphology.
The other OSU.
Yeah, the other OSU that comes up in Google searches when I'm lazy and just type in OSU. Yeah. And so I've been interested in morphology for a long time, also phylogenetics, and I've done a little bit with plastid genome evolution. I'm really excited to learn about the PO and the GO and interested in links that can be made between those and be here with these guys and annotating images and hunting for things throughout the phylogenetic tree of life, for example. So, yeah. So I'm very new.
Oh, that's great. Great. And congratulations on getting your PhD done. And that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And we all know that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great to have you on the project. And I hope you're able to come to the meetings, at least remotely for now. And we'll figure out, you know, when you find out when your talk is at the BSA, why don't you let us know? Because maybe you can come on Wednesday with Dennis. I don't know. We'll see. It'd be great to have a couple days to work together. What's that?
It'd be Wednesday with Chelsea.
Oh, with Chelsea, yeah. Tuesday. Chelsea's coming Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, keep me posted. I know it's too bad these are both planned to be at the same week, but sometimes you just can't get around these scheduling issues. So, Brandon, do you have any questions about the project or...
The questions that I have... deal with a few things. I was sort of creeping through your minutes notes.
Yeah.
A long time ago. And I noticed at some point somebody said something about annotating orphan genomes, that there were some orphan things that needed to be maintained or annotated. And I'd like to get a little more into, in general, comparative genomics and working with whole genome annotation and all of that. So if I could sort of get in on any of that, that would be great. That's one question I have. If there are things that are orphaned or abandoned, maybe I can help with that. I guess that's my first question.
So what do we mean by orphan? Are we talking about kind of phenotype annotation here or functional annotation?
It just said annotations. I assume gene annotations.
Yeah, I think it's functional annotations.
Yeah.
But phenotypes. So I think this was originally from the grant proposal, you know, and we had talked about addressing some of these minor crops or, you know, unique plants that haven't had a lot of resources put on them. Uh-huh. And so this is something Pankaj could probably address better than me. But are you still there, Pankaj?
Not here.
So what is the question?
That there are possible, there was reference to orphaned genomes in the sense of a functional or gene annotations. And I was curious as to,
I know, but
to human team zones and if,
I have one,
if I could help at all doing that or learn exactly what your workflow is for doing that and help out.
Absolutely. You, me and Justin Elser can chat about doing those, working on those annotations.
Okay.
Yeah. We have quite a few of those. I don't know what orphan means, but there is no reference. This is, some of them have been used based on the transcriptomes, that annotations that we have brought in, just to complete the get a better representation of the evolutionary tree. And sometimes you need it because there is some network or some project does require those kinds of things. So for example, if you can imagine, there were a few wild rice varieties. Mm-hmm. Out of 20 species, there were, I think, 4 or 5 of them. They don't have a reference genome, but we did use the transcriptomes to get a good estimate of coverage, and we get about 80-85% of the genes. So we were able to compute the species phylogeny and have the gene family clusters for that. Okay. Yeah, so this we have done, and then and there were many other for which there is no resource, online resource to go and look at. For example, which is there were 3 or 4 of those kind of things for which there is no online resource. For example, date palm, there is no resource. So we pulled in the data, and the Plantium is the only resource where the annotations are provided. And another situation is that once those genome projects are done, those annotations are never updated. Whereas the projections and computational algorithms have changed, or the reference annotation databases have improved their annotation, which we use for projecting it to the newer genomes. So what we plan on doing is run that pipeline every year on a yearly basis to make sure that we are almost up to date cycle for those, because many of those genomes are going to get sequenced, but they would never be touched by anybody else after they were published. Okay. So it's except for rice and maize and I think Arabidopsis is almost done. Unless it's a major genome or major crop genome, I don't think there are any resources available to update them frequently. Even rice is in the doldrums because we don't have any updates for the last 3 years, actually. So problem comes is that many of those reference genomes also have their genes identified on them, but sometimes you do, based on the transcriptomes, you do find novel transcribed regions and things like that, which are not represented on those. So we have a much better coverage if we go along the transcriptome route.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you for providing some
comments. Dennis is back here. So Dennis, you guys have done a lot of transcriptome work in your whatever plant consortium you have in New York.
Yeah.
With Gloria. And I would love to get hold of some of those data sets to have a much better coverage of the species we represent in our database.
Yeah, I'll look into the ones we have. And then you know, there's also 1KP.
Yes.
And I'm one of the 5 principal PIs for 1KP. So we have access to all of 1KP if we want it. It's all going to get released. We have one more paper to do, the sort of capstone paper. Mm-hmm. Which we're doing, and then when that becomes available, the complete 1,400 transcriptomes become available to the public.
Sure. Yes, yeah, so we don't release the sequences, but we do release the annotation at this point of time and the IDs. So whichever has been published, can we start looking at that data?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so, go to the 1KP website and it'll tell you what you're allowed to look at.
No, not only it's not allowing, but we want some kind of an agreement that, because we will be redistributing the annotation.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I think that'll be fine. But write to me about it, and then I'll pass it on to Gaines.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can do that.
Not what you want right. to do.
But, you know, that way we have
public very soon, and then people can do with it whatever they want. You know, that's the idea. Yeah.
So, Brandon, we have about 67 species worth of genome data,
okay.
annotations. Total number of species in the database is about 87. And if we bring in additional data sets from here, we can start going to close to about 100, 140.
Okay. Yeah, I printed, I sorted the genomes available through the Plantium website by annotation.
Yeah.
And I assume that's the list we're talking about here. And yeah, I noticed that there are a bunch with very few annotations. Sometimes it's just the genus listed or something. But yeah, I thought maybe that was the group that I could sort of help out.
So most of the genomes, sequence genomes or transcriptomes would have Go annotation. So if you're looking for Go annotation, go to Go annotation and look at the number of species that have it. Okay. That would be an ideal. And Justin Elser can send you a list.
Okay.
Of the species. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, those are on our live site too.
And I need to work with Justin to clean up there. I think there are a lot of redundancies, so we need to clean up those things.
Yeah, it's kind of an ongoing process. We've been working on getting things cleaned up and straightened up. So one, getting back to your comment there, Brandon, about the species that had a few annotations, it might be helpful for you to kind of understand. So there's in the Plantium now, there's annotations on this data to the gene ontology and to the plant ontology and to the trait ontology. So originally when we were on our previous project for the plant ontology, we were annotating mostly transcriptome data with plant ontology terms. So, you know, when you're looking at that, you want to differentiate between what the annotations are to, which kind of ontology terms they're to. Uh-huh. So those ones that you see that have very few, a lot of those were contributed by some of the other database groups in the U.S. and around the world. For a long time, we were getting a lot of annotations to plant ontology terms from TARE, which is Arabidopsis, mm-hmm. And a lot from MaizeGDB. And some of the ones that only have a few came from the Solanaceae Genome Network. So a lot of those are contributed by our collaborators. So, you know, if you're interested in doing some annotation work, we can definitely work with you on that, because that's it's always good to do more of that. And we're moving more towards getting the trait ontology annotations. That's one of the things we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had a question on here about, is Brandon able to receive training that was provided at the November Curator Training Workshop? Yes. And we will work on, we may be having another workshop this fall.
Okay.
Our Pankaj and I need to discuss that a bit more. We had tried to have one right after ICBO, but it just wasn't possible to get people here and do all that. But we'll keep you posted. You know, maybe we can have a meeting here or maybe out at the garden. Who knows? We can figure something out.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
And then there was a question about linking PO terms to the virtual plant website.
Yes. Yeah, Dennis.
Yeah, I'm one of the, it's the virtual plant. There's two different virtual plant websites, I suspect. There's one at NYU has, but then there's the one that goes with the plant anatomy textbook. It's called the virtual plant.
Oh, your
textbook has a CD.
Textbook that you worked on.
Yeah, we're working on the second edition. So one of the things I said I wanted to do with the second edition was link our glossary to the PO, for each term. But so there's a website called the Virtual Plant, and that has all these images and anatomical things. And that's why I ask about link, sometimes not only having images of stuff like we wanted to, but also having links put in, URLs or whatever.
Indoor put references. In.
Right. Into our references. For the textbook.
You can click on it and go directly to that website that has all these laboratories for teaching plant anatomy in it.
So maybe next time when we have the meeting, if one of you can give a demo of what is there and what is your vision on how you want to link back.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think that definitely should be doable.
And there's not going to be any hassles because I'm an author, so, we can use it. And also, I think probably from the publisher's point of view, it's a good thing. It's like free advertising for them, for the textbook. I don't know.
Yes.
And the textbook, the new edition of the textbook's examples are not going to be esoteric plants, but I'm going to try to focus it on things like Arabidopsis and rice and plants that you know, a broader audience would know and want to understand the anatomy that goes with it. Almost like the anatomy of whole genome plants.
Yeah, that's great.
Whole genome sequence plants.
I just pulled up the website. I think, let me share my screen real quick. Is this the one? This is the text.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
And as you can see, you know, it's yeah. So it has digital plant anatomy.
Huh, very nice, yeah. Yeah, we'd love to explore this some more. Let's go and see if they have. Oh yeah, look at all these terms.
Yeah, they're all in the glossary, you know, so. And they're not all imaged, but that's sort of a basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to make this glossary congruent with the PO glossary, unless for some reason there's an issue, and then we'll rethink the PO term if we need to. But I don't think we will have to.
Yeah. We may need to add some terms or...
Well, we've talked about that, you know. I want to add, you know, terms that I think are very useful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As a sort of priority, right?
That you need.
So look at, go back there a second.
Okay.
We'll just pick one here.
Okay. Internode, how's that?
No, how about interfascicular?
Yes. There's a nice image, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but I would change this to make it more congruent with the PO, then I would illustrate it because, you know, it's the region between two bundles, right? But you also have a term interfascicular cambium when the cambium differentiates across that zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we would image that.
Yeah.
So that would be a case where we would add a term.
What is MX?
Oops. I don't know where
metaxylum.
I guess it's
okay.
And then we have.
Oh, so this reminds me, I think we should bring in Justin Priest on this so that now actually what is going to happen is that we have implemented the software that he was trying to build. It was a desktop version, but it is now on iPlant. So your image can actually go straight away into their BISC platform.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot he was doing that.
Then we can pull in directly from there. Because if it is a high resolution one, that software, local software, was not very conducive on it. But iPlant's infrastructure would allow you to do the high resolution images there, pull it in, and then be able to annotate exactly the way we were doing it on the desktop.
Okay.
But online.
Yeah.
So then everything stays at one place.
Yeah, they're making good progress on that.
Mm-hmm. That's Ramona, right? That's part of that. Yeah.
I think they've made a good progress on that side. Oh.
Let's see what this was.
Okay, Elizabeth is saying that she needs to leave quickly, so if there are any agenda items for her.
The only thing I was going to ask is if Marie or Elizabeth or both of you could give us just a little update on what the status is of the next trait dictionaries that are being worked on, the wheat and the maize, right? Rice.
Yeah, so I'm working on the mappings right now. So yeah, I almost finished the wheat. So Rosemarie validated the mappings. So I gave Rosemarie a list of the mappings that I have for the wheat and teal.
Mm-hmm.
And so she validated the mapping during the workshop in Montpellier.
Good.
So I will just create the Yobo file if it's okay with you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is for the wheat.
This is for the wheat. And for the maize, there is no update. I mean, the trait dictionary is not ready. Still not ready.
Okay. And now that Leo's gone, I guess you're kind of working with them on that, or?
Yeah, I've been helping. There is a new version of the sweet potato ontology that we received last. Yeah. So yeah, my plan is to have as many crops that I can map before the end of the month.
Before the end of the month.
Hello. Hi.
Did you say the end of the month?
Yeah.
Sorry, the audio was cutting out there a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that we stop my video, okay?
Yeah, I know. I should probably turn off mine too. It helps sometimes.
I think much of the maze traits are already in the trait ontology, I believe. Lol.
Yes, I think really well covered.
Maze is not a big concern at this point of time. I think rice was, and I don't know what's the status of the rice, but rice, and we can get in potato and other major crops, that would be fine.
Yeah. What's the status on the rice?
So on the rice, so we have validated a list of traits, but now people are just adding more traits based on the traits that are used by the breeders.
Right.
And also in projects, so the traits that are used in South America at SIAT, mm-hmm. and in Africa, in the context of the African rice project.
Okay.
So now, and also, yeah, they are trying to add some pathology threats and stuff like, yeah, different type of threat. But I mean, the core set of threats is clean and ready to be uploaded.
Great, great.
Updated, because we already have the rice in Plantium, but I need to update that too.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. And you're going to do the same thing, like when you upload the wheat, you're going to put the common name in front of the trait names and so on, like we did with the other species, correct?
Yes, if it's convenient for you, yeah,
I think it is helpful. Alrighty. So maybe we'll move on. We're kind of getting down towards the end of the hour. Justin, do you have any updates from your end on what you've been working on?
No, I actually, well, I wanted to say I think we're pretty close to being able to do another release. I can't remember if there's anything else holding up a non-beta release of the new Amigo.
I agree. I think I want to chat with you on because some of the Go data set is mm-hmm. quite redundant because of the evidence is coming from multiple places or multiple genes from Arabidopsis. Remember the projections coming from Arabidopsis one?
You mean like we have the same annotation except instead of like one might be an IEA and one might be a I whatever?
No, it's both of them are based on autophagy. But everybody needs to know. But what is happening is, let's say a Go ID is annotated.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
I'm going to mute your mic, Luke. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for example, like a rice gene A is annotated to Go term, X Go term, and the evidence came from Arabidopsis gene, the best homolog, but there are Arabidopsis paralogs as well, right? So the same annotation might come from another gene of Arabidopsis as well. And so if there are more than one, sometimes the annotations keep on multiple up kind of things. So I was thinking is if we can find a mechanism to concatenate the evidences in the same row, or we can choose one best out of that, because these are all orthology based, right?
Probably. Can you send me like a real concrete example so that I can kind of look at it?
Yes.
And try to trace it back where they're coming from?
Yes. So what would happen eventually is I think we will remove quite a lot of redundancies on that side. And I think if we can fix that, then we are ready to go up.
There is a ticket on the main Amigo tracker about allowing the user the option of filtering redundant, but it's not completely straightforward. So don't assume that will be implemented soon. So you will have to do your own redundancy filtering upstream, as you're proposing just now.
Yeah. Right, but if we do it before the load.
Exactly, yeah. That's what you have to do right now anyway.
Okay.
So I think if we can do that, I think it would substantially reduce from 43 million to some. I think it will go down by one third or something like that. But I think let's chat about it, and then I think at that point we are ready to roll out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pankaj, do you want to give an update on what Yart was going to be doing?
We have a consultant working with us. Yorit Poland, right?
Yeah.
And he's been hired. He's really working offsite from Oakland, California. And Chris and I would be working with him. And idea is in the very first round is to scrape all the ASP.NET plant diseases and put them in some structured format. I know that Austin and Lal have been working with rice, maize, and wheat, I believe, and probably potato. But there are other hundreds of other species worth of data that's coming in. So we're working with him to pull that data out and in a structured format so that that can go into making a plant disease ontology, starting with the names of the diseases. And but on the other side, he's also capturing the host and the pathogen taxon. And he has done some work with the Encyclopedia of Life, where he says that so-and-so pathogen taxon has been associated with a host and a disease name. So that way, what's going to happen is that many times we see that the taxa is not represented in any of the conventional taxonomies. But since he has his sights on the EOL, he may be able to get those integrated there and make a better working model based on the terminologies that we pull out of ASP.NET and put it in a structured format for us. So that's the very first assignment that he's going to work on for the next couple of months.
When is he beginning this, yeah, this sort of thing?
Sorry?
When is this going on? Will you start it now?
And he's just started this week.
Okay, because Nicole, our new undergrad, and I have been, like you said, scraping some of those yeah. diseases and causal agents into Google spreadsheets, and so we have quite a few of them in there. And so I've been working on. I didn't plan on talking about this, but since it came up, I thought I'd at least hint towards what's happening. We're trying to develop, or I'm trying to look at a way to put a design pattern on the disease ontology so that these spreadsheets that Nicole has helped create can be converted into ontology terms. And right now I was going to use just the sort of the pattern that we have up there right now, except maybe leave the causal agent place blank for now and just have it to be determined. But it'd be great if we knew what the design pattern was going to be like so that I could have Nicole start to format some of our current information already up there.
Yeah.
So are you familiar with the YAP? So I did this very briefly in the tutorial at Corvallis,
right?
On the YAML format. So.
But I it's a little bit over my head just at that stage. So I read a paper yesterday about Onto Rat. Is that you guys?
No, I wouldn't use OntoRat. So I would use, I'll send you some more documentation on.
Yeah, that'd be great because the OntoRat is nice because it actually, there is like documentation that I can understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a better alternative, I'd be all ears for that.
Okay. So what I would do is I'll schedule a meeting with Chris, Austin, you, me, and what's that, the audit?
Yeah.
And so that we are on the same plane and we can look at your templates and the strategy, what you're having. And then what he's basically going to do is he will help us automate the process.
Yeah. So is Nicole doing this in an automated way or is she kind of manually?
She's doing it by hand. I was going to do the automation part, but I just wanted to have her put the templates together. For like the major ones, it's kind of as a proof of concept. So if you can send me something that would allow me to direct her efforts more usefully, I guess, that'd be awesome.
That sounds good. I think a meeting with everybody would be a great idea. Okay. Very good. It's always good to have.
And so this is the first one, and then after it is done, the plan is to go to Grin, and they have their own trade dictionaries and list of traits for the NYBG group. That is the germplasm repositories for whole of the US. So they provide nursery trials and phenotype information on hundreds of species. Every seed that gets deposited in GRIN has some kind of a phenotype associated with it, like a grain number, resistance, tolerance, and all sorts of things. May or may not be anatomical, but they do something like plant height and leaf number and leaf width and things like that. So those, they have their own vocabularies, but those vocabularies are again species specific. So what URIT is going to work on is transform them into ontologies. And that would be probably a collaborative work together with what Mari has been doing already with the trade dictionary here. And once that is done, I think then it's transferring the data. What Austin, you've been trying to work on is to annotate the actual germplasm data.
Yeah.
On that side. So I think that's the goal. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I was not able to get a software developer on. I tried my best, but I think the best way to move forward is to have the consultants come in with expertise in these areas and come along and help us out. Yeah. And so, Dennis, I will also try to work on, find somebody who can work with you on the data image database side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Is that correct, Chris?
Yep.
All right.
Great.
So the idea is we should have some very concrete things to in place, either happening or has been accomplished by August end or early September. That's where I believe NSF would start banging our doors to have a reverse site visit. And that was the agreement with Diane. I know there is a new program manager that has taken over from Diane, not just for our project. Our project has been assigned to another person, but Diane is still there. So if I hear back from NSF, then I will let you know on that side. Okay. But at that point, I think somewhere around August and September, I will try to put together advisory board members, and we can do a short advisory board meeting or a half a day meeting to show our progress, get an on-hand report, and when the group comes or from NSF comes over, then we would have a better involvement and better discussion. The idea was first 2 years, do whatever you can, and then third year funding was tied, I think was tied to this reverse site visit. And if we can show a progress substantial way and where we are reach out, then we go for third year or possibility of even more.
Great.
So, at that point, I believe if you, Austin, you had access to high throughput phenotyping data, I think we should start looking at that, and you and I can talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
So that we have our bases covered on the newer technologies and newer ways of capturing the metadata is starting to come in.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that's it, Pankaj?
Okay.
Okay. So Luke, no, that's wonderful. It's good to have that information. So Luke Slater joined the call while we were talking about other things, and I wanted to give him a chance to just, I'm going to unmute you, Luke.
Okay.
Can you turn your camera on for 1 second? Say hello and tell us what you're working on. Hi, Luke.
Luke is from University of Birmingham in UK.
Yes.
And he works with other COPI Georgios.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, one issue is that I got an email saying I should receive a temporary password for the wiki, but I actually didn't receive that email. So I still don't have access to the Plantium wiki.
Was this within the last couple of weeks?
Yeah. Well, when we met last, I got an email saying
Well, we upgraded the server and we didn't realize the email was broken on it. So I can have it resend you the password. It should be fixed now.
Ah, that'll be useful. Okay.
I'll do that in just a minute.
Yeah. Great. Luke, can you tell us kind of briefly what you're working on with George over there? And
what I'm working on with George? Oh, all sorts of things.
the pertaining project. On,
pertaining to this project.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, mainly we've been working on implementing Abra's API into agronomy. Or what's the tool's name?
Mean
AgriPortal? AgriPortal, that's the one.
So AgriPortal is based on BioPortal, isn't it?
Yes, but it's missing the whole semantic querying kind of thing. So the idea was when we met in Montpellier was to implement Abraal as a sort of halfway point. So before you run a query, it would retrieve the results from Abraal, extending the results, and then you'd run AgriPortal normally, but enriched with the semantic query.
And are you coming to ICBO?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good. Wonderful.
George is coming, Luke is coming, and one more graduate student, Mona, is coming from George's group. There will be three people.
Excellent.
Very good.
Well.
Oh, no. So I got confused. Mona and would be from Robert's group, not Faust.
Yeah, but it's all kind of the same.
Yeah, it's the same. Yes.
I think Miguel from Rob's group is coming as well. I mean, it's dependent on their papers getting accepted, but it should be fine.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I would say that maybe, Lol, if you can send an email to the group saying if from the Plantium group, if a group or whoever is coming, if they are planning, if they would can plan on staying a couple of extra days, that would be great. So to gel together and know about what everybody else is doing and where we want to head into, a little bit extra time outside of the meeting.
Right, absolutely. That's what we're kind of planning on. So okay. You mean send it to the Plantium group?
Yeah, I don't mind having extra meetings or off the Plantium group on 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Yeah, well, I can't do the 7th, but 5th, we have the 5th.
At least 5th and 6th, Friday and Saturday could be.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday. So, yeah, sounds good. So before we hang up, Austin, do you want to give us your little update?
Yeah, sure. I put up, if you have access to the
I can
Wikipedia, you can see that my notes that I put up here, but also within the GitHub, I believe it's the common, I always forget the name of it even when
common
I'm typing.
Common
reference files common files for reference ontologies. There's a folder in there called scripts, and in there I made another folder called germplasm annotation. And so in that folder now, there is a Python script and a few example files that I put in there. And so the idea is that the Python script now has documentation within it so that you can use the -h help, and it will tell you what is required. And all of that's currently required is a data file, which is like a CSV, TSV, some sort of separated file with the four columns that I specify need to be in there, and then a trait mapping file, which is just a comma separated thing saying what the trait is called in your file and what the TO term and ID is for that. And you can also add things like evidence code and other things, but that's all in the documentation. I can do a demonstration some one time for this, but then you just tell it where you want the file and it will convert it to GAF format, and it currently works. And so I'm going to execute it on the Erie data, the GRIMS, I forget the name of their IRGC germplasm. And so it does a good job of adding annotations. So give it a try and see what you guys think. If you have some germplasm data that you want to try out or anything like that, because I'm pretty proud of it. It's the first script I've ever written that has a help function. So
excellent. Yeah.
So the idea is you could write we could have a scraper that writes into this format, and then you have another procedure whereby either manually or semi-automatically you provide the mappings from the trait descriptors to TO terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now, I think Marie has some automation on the mapping, but some of it has to be validated by hand. So that step is pretty much the limiting step of the whole thing. But I tried to make this script as open-ended as possible, so you can put the data in any order as long as you have certain columns need to be present. And then there's defaults that you can obviously change, like whether or not you put like your name as the annotator. The database that it's coming from. And I'm trying to work out a way to add synonyms intelligently, but there's not, I don't have the programming expertise to be able to do it as flexible as I'd like it to be. So that's sort of up in the air right now.
That's cool. And I had a question. You say that the rice germplasm from Rise of Snips now loaded, meaning loaded on
the dev browser.
Dev
browser, yeah, sorry. That is not, it uses a variation of this script, so it's not using the same script, as it's actually calling the Ariza Snip API to pull the data. It's not a single data sheet. So I hope that's actually more robust, because then as they update their Ariza Snip page, we can rerun the script and get more up-to-date annotations. But judging on how Erie runs their like databases, they'll just create a new database probably, and it won't map to that database either. So there's no hope for that, but that currently works. It pulls down annotations and they're displayed now in the dev browser. If you want to take a look at them, I sent a link to Mao and Jeff to take a look at them to see if there's anything wrong with how they're being displayed. But Locke, their developer or their web developer over there, I messaged him and he got back to me finally and fixed the URLs. So the URLs actually appropriately map to the Ariza Snip pages. So that's pretty cool. I haven't figured out a way to get anything to map to Genesis correctly yet, because they use some sort of internal identifier that's displayed in their URL. So the closest I've got is bringing people to the search page and with the germplasm name entered in the search bar. So it's just one extra step to click on the one that you want. But it's not ideal.
Well, we have to deal with these other systems, right, exactly. So there's nothing much we can do about that. It sounds like you're making good progress, though.
Yeah, so that's the way it's working now. And so I have in there, I've left the trait name in the phenotype column, or in the phenotype score column. So you see has phenotype score as the relationship that I'm using. And then in there, it just plugs in whatever the trait name is. For example, days to 80% fully headed in cultivated. And then it will equal whatever the value is for that. Hmm. So it doesn't look that pretty because it can't have spaces. So I have to like sub all the spaces out. But it gives you a better idea of what like these just generic integers that are showing up in the phenotype column are. Hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
It's cool. Check it out. I think it works.
All right. Does anyone else have any other updates or reports? Otherwise, I think we'll wrap up. Oh, hi, George. People keep appearing and disappearing. Some of these meetings go.
I'm terribly sorry, guys. I was so late. Sorry about that.
Hi, George.
Hello. Sorry.
That's all right.
I was in a meeting and it overran, so that's why I was late. I'm sorry. I will get an update from Luke, though. I think he's present.
Okay, great. Yeah, we were just kind of catching up on all the news. So do you have any updates or news you want to share?
Well, one bit of thing that might be useful for us is, and you might want to tell me, if I'm going to give a talk in the Prague meeting for FEBS. Let me send you details. If there is, I mean, of course, I will mention the work we're doing, but if you want to tell something specific, just let me know. I'll send you the details. Okay. It's one, I believe, for plant is quite big in Europe. This.
It's on the plant phenotypes.
I'm sorry.
Is it on the plant phenotyping?
It has. I think it's for a look. Let me send you all the details. It's about data standards and plant data.
Yeah, I think we should talk a little bit more about plantiome on that side.
So, I mean, I was invited to give a talk, but I'm happy to make it even just plantiome. It's up to you. So if you want me to say.
I would just say blend the plantiome along with your talk if you can.
Yeah, I'll always add a couple of slides. Laura has seen them. I'll add two or three slides on plantiome, but I can extend it if there's something more specific we want to disseminate. That's what I'm...
Right. And one more thing that we are trying to do is, George, that we need to get hold of high-throughput phenotyping data.
So I'm working on it, Pankaj. Huh? So I don't know if Laura brought you up to date, but this is something that... what I'm working on is getting all the national plant phenomic centers in Europe to adopt a single or a similar, if you like, annotation protocol that would eventually convert all the data in some qualitative form and express in PO, TO, and so on. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that we should get together or have some kind of a small workshop, either in EU or over here over the fall or later in the year? People who are doing high throughput phenotyping to come together and show us what they have been doing and how they plan on synergizing the data standards.
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I think it might be too early for this summer because we don't have an agreement from all of them. It's a bit sensitive. You know, not all of them get along together quite nicely as you would expect.
No, I'm happy to do the organization of the workshop here. I can pay for that, so that at least people would be either here, would come over.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I think we should definitely have a high throughput specific phenotyping workshop. I agree.
Mm-hmm. To start thinking about it together with John, whom I'm interested from Europe, and we can think about people who are doing it in the U.S.
Actually, that would be very, very, if you could provide or come up with a few names of people that you think or you know that are doing a similar type of thing in US, that would be great.
And I want to tap into Lemna Tech because they are the ones who are selling this. That is probably the most popular version of the high throughput phenotyping platform that is roaming around in the world. Most sought after, but there are other ones like the ones that were developed in phenomics facilities for Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no, if via LambdaTech you can identify who in US, I know the people in Europe that all of them would be using LambdaTech. They're not really happy with it, but most of them will have it.
Because they don't have the other options, or they don't have the teams who can work on the robotics and things like that.
No, actually, most of them are quite advanced in the robotics. For example, where Lauren and myself and Austin were in France, INRA has completely reverse engineered the whole LambdaTech. So they're doing it their own way now.
No.
Nobody trusts LambdaTech apparently very much. but don't quote me on that. This is just what I've been picking from them. But yeah. I would be more interested in institutions, organizations, USA-based ones, that actually have high throughput phenomics for plants.
Yeah, we can get you there.
Yeah, that would be great. Because if we can bring all of these people together, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yes. Sounds good. Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, great. Well, thanks for the update, George. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're able to join.
Yeah, sorry I was late again.
Oh,
yeah.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you're able to join in. Okay, well, I think we better finish up there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.